Welcome to the Silky Smooth Sounds with Green and Red Podcast. I'm your co-host, Scott Parkin, in Berkeley, California. And as always, I'm joined by...
Bob Bazanko.
And I just want to, before we get started, I just want to remind people that our program, which has hit over 500 episodes at this point, is made through the generosity of our audience. And so please consider becoming a patron at patreon.com/greenredpodcast or making a one-time donation at greenredpodcast.org and hit that support button. Today, we're going to be talking about data centers and Bitcoin mining and crypto. Texas is ground zero for all of these digital monstrosities. And joining us to talk about this is Candace Byrne, who is a frequent guest on the Green and Red Podcast, special investigative correspondent for the Texas Observer, covering climate and ecological crisis. And actually has a forthcoming book that will come out next year called Blood, Soil, and Oil, Far-Right Acceleration in the Age of Climate Crisis. And then has actually put out two articles this week on the what's going on with data centers and crypto, one on Corpus Christi, which we'll talk about, and the other on the sort of the political divide happening within the GOP. But Candace, welcome back to the Green and Red Podcast.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks so much, Scott and Bob, for having me back.
Maybe just to start off, Texas is ground zero for lots of these different things. Could you actually talk a little bit about why Texas is ripe for and tech companies, big tech, wanting to put stuff on the ground in Texas?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm going to go a little bit further back to the sort of precursor of the AI data center explosion. I know that there's so much focus on the AI data centers, but really, the whole thing started with the Bitcoin mining phenomenon, or the crypto mines that were proliferating across the state. And they started proliferating across the state really in 2021 because China banned them. And so all of the Bitcoin miners moved in, and they moved into Texas because of our unregulated grid. So we have really cheap energy, an unregulated standalone grid that fails if it gets too cold, and that leaves us all high and dry, or really in the dark, I should say, for days on end. But yeah, it's because of that, the cheap energy and the incentives that the Republicans offer the Bitcoin miners, that they all came here. And so we did this series looking at the crypto mining boom a while back and just used open sources to track that phenomenon. And there was more than 60 that we could find, but there's certainly more. Obviously, there's probably over 100 now, because this was a while back, almost certainly. Among the incentives, the kind of wild incentives that this state offers Bitcoin miners in particular, is something called demand response, which means that our grid, ERCOT, the Electric Reliability Council of Texas, actually pays them to turn off or shut down their crypto mining during periods of high demand. So actually, these Bitcoin miners make most of their revenues that way, which is wild. To me, absolutely wild. And so, yeah, that's called demand response, and that's been going on for a long time. And again, that was the precursor to the actual AI data center boom. And actually, a lot of the AI data centers do also engage in Bitcoin mining. But a lot of these miners, with Bitcoin prices being what they are right now, and the sort of boom and bust cycle of Bitcoin, a lot of those companies like CoreWeave, some of these other giant AI data center companies you may have heard of, started off as crypto miners and spun into AI data centers, just grabbing the money on the table that's there with this giant explosion of AI training. And anyways, yeah, so now most of that has become AI. Now in Texas, we're looking at a boom of something like 400 AI data centers. They're just all over the place. They're literally just popping up. My husband told me the other day, oh, there's a data center going up next to our office. Like, he had no idea. Just boom, there's a data center right there. So yeah, they're really just cropping up all over the place. And the other main reason I would say that this is happening, or why Texas is a ground zero, and a lot of people talk about Virginia being this traditional like data center alley, but really, I think if you look at the picture now, like Texas is rapidly outpacing even Virginia. And that's because a lot of these guys are setting up shop in these rural counties where there is absolutely no zoning. There's no regulation in these counties, and they can basically get away with whatever they want. with almost no oversight. And so I think that's what's really driving a lot of the trend. And that's really where the whole debate and the whole fight is over at this point in Texas, is just that regulatory control at the local level.
It's becoming a huge issue here in Ohio as well. They've been spending tons of money. It's actually becoming a political scandal, which is good. But to go back, because I know since it's become a big deal here, I've been talking to a lot of people about it. And the term mining generally refers to subsoil resources, right? You think of digging for whatever, gold, copper, whatever. What we're talking about here are these massive areas. Like the one in Utah is planned to be, what, like 40,000 acres or something like that, where it's just full of computers running all the time, which require, obviously, what's the connection to this immense amount of water they need?
Yeah, it's called liquid immersion. Basically, it's a trade-off where either you can have noise and noise torture these poor communities that are surrounding these things by using giant industrial fans, basically, to cool the hardware, as it basically, with Bitcoin mining, it's processing these huge strings of trillions of numbers just per second to mine the next block. But with AI data training, it's just like all processing all of the data to train the AI models to make the predictions that they make. And so, yeah, either you get this trade-off with the giant industrial fans, and that creates the din, the hum that you've heard of, the famous. And that's what we had, one of the first cases of that in Texas with this Bitcoin mine in Hood County that was basically noise torturing these folks around it. Or they can do the other method, which is the water, the liquid immersion, cooling it via water. And that's where you get the massive water draw. The figures that we're looking at in Texas, like statewide, is there's an Advanced Houston Research Consortium, I think they're called, or Center perhaps, report. And the low end is like, the expectation is 29 billion gallons of water for this year. And the high end is really wild. It's like over 160 billion gallons of water. So I think that analysis is still in its early stages. But yeah, it's this incredible water draw. And this is happening in parts of our state that are literally running out of water, which is what I reported on and focused on this week in Corpus Christi in particular.
And well, one, Texas has struggled the last couple of decades. Texas has really struggled with drought anyway. Before this happened, there was also an issue around fracking too, as the water usage there. But are there any other environment? There's the noise pollution and then there's the water usage. Are there any other environmental effects that we should be aware of related to these?
Oh, yeah. So the other main issue is energy. I don't know how much you want to look at that as an environmental issue, but the energy part of it, I mean, is a huge risk. Obviously, there's the greenhouse gas emissions that are associated with that. And so that's this secondary indirect effect. But the major thing that is upsetting so many folks here is just the risk to the grid. Like, our grid did fail during Winter Storm Uri. And what I looked at in my reporting is actually a lot of people think that it's the massive demand that's going to short out our grid, more or less. But actually, the risk is a little bit counterintuitive. It actually comes from massive drop-offs of power on the grid, which creates power surges, which could literally short our grid. It's very carefully regulated. And ERCOT documents this and reports this. And there are several examples of massive drop-offs from these mines or these data centers that have sparked surges that are concerning for ERCOT. And that's part of the reason why the legislature passed this bill last session in May 2025 called SB6. And SB6 mandates kill switches for data centers. It mandates that they have to foot their interconnection fees. It did pass certain regulations on data centers. But the backlash in the rural counties that's happening now, even after SB6 is new, so they're still working on the implementation at this very moment. But the backlash is becoming so overwhelming that you just had Abbott come out yesterday, finally backing regulations for data centers, which is a total shift from what he has been doing. He's been a total proponent for data centers. He's been doing photo ops with Google CEO, just promoting Texas as a new hub for AI. He's been welcoming these data centers just like he welcomed their forerunners with Bitcoin mines with open arms, saying, come to Texas, we will happily host you here. And so, yeah, just yesterday, he is reversing course on that to some extent, not total. you have the, what's interesting to me is there is a divide in the party where you do have Republicans from these more rural districts that are dealing with this, that are representing those constituencies who are calling for a statewide moratorium, including Sid Miller. He's outgoing, so that's easier for him to do. Sid Miller's the agriculture commissioner here, but he backed a statewide moratorium. There are a couple of representatives that have called for a statewide moratorium. And Hill County recently passed a moratorium at the county level and then promptly got sued for $100 million from the data center developer and then had to rescind their moratorium. So they reneged on it totally on June 4th and could be facing a state investigation. But technically, they exceeded their authority in doing that. But anyways, so you've got this grassroots call for a statewide pause and then Republican leaders who are totally trying to welcome this industry with open arms. And it seems like the fight, I think this next session, when session comes in January, we are going to see more data center regulation on the table for sure. Definitely sales tax exemptions, which have cost the state something like $3.2 billion. That's going to be going away. Almost certainly sales tax exemptions for these guys are gone. Mandating closed loop water systems, which are more efficient, but still really water costly. I think that's on the table. There are a number of things that I think are going to be done in this upcoming session. I think as this thing keeps rolling on, I'm not sure that's going to be enough to quell these constituencies.
Yeah, like I said, that same stuff's going on in Ohio. In addition to that, a lot of people have said that, like here in Ohio, they're seeing their energy bills go up several hundred dollars, which most Americans don't have $500 saved up. So that kind of takes care of that. Is that happening in Texas as well, where just the general cost of all these utilities has gone up because of all of these data centers all over?
Yeah, definitely it is. So like with SB 6, they mandated that they have to foot the bill of the cost of transmission. But the problem that comes with that is that a lot of the local infrastructure, especially in these rural counties, needs to get updated and upgraded in order to handle these loads. And so that ends up being pushed to the consumer where the rates go up across the board. And so that's happening everywhere. And yeah, I think that on top of like elevated gas prices, like it's a real problem for the Republican Party for sure.
Have Kinahosa or Calarigo said anything about this?
I am not sure. So yeah, I'm sorry. I'm just not up to date on
it. It's just such a huge campaign issue, like everywhere, a winning issue. And I know the Democratic governor of Michigan just approved the one and was seen breaking the ground, which got her a lot of flack justifiably. So I'm just curious.
Yeah, I'm sure they have. I've just been invested in these two data sets this week that I haven't paid attention.
I mean, it's such a winning issue.
Yeah, that's what I think. Like basically, I think that the whole fight is over local control, right? And so, and this was the same issue with fracking, right? That you had mentioned fracking and the water use before. And so basically like local control got stripped away, has been systematically stripped away from like cities and counties now for the past something like 15 years. And Republicans have been doing this mainly aiming at like blue cities that are like trying to raise the minimum wage or different things like that and trying to just preempt them and hand that power back to the state. And obviously, I know that issue really well because oil and gas regulation at the local level got stripped and moved to the Railroad Commission, which has nothing to do with railroads and is our oil and gas regulator, because of Denton's vote to ban fracking, which is my hometown. And I was really involved in that fight to ban fracking. So yeah, we banned fracking by something like 59% in 2014. And then the state legislature voted to pass HB 40, and that just stripped all of our authority to do that. And so that was just one move, but there's been this long running war against local control from the GOP. And I think that there's this real opportunity right now for Hinojosa, for Tallarico, not just to back regulations, right? Which I'm sure they probably are. Like, I don't know the details, but I'm sure they probably are. Yeah. But what they should be doing is running on local control and running on centering the data center debate around returning local control to counties, giving them the land use authorities they need to just be able to regulate and control their own natural resources, right? And that's what I think. And I think that narrative is a democracy narrative. It's fundamentally just a question of should constituencies, residents, have the ability to determine their own environmental futures or not, their own resource futures? And so, yeah, I think that because Republicans for a long time traditionally were the party of local control, like small government. They were supposed to be small government, right? And then they stripped out.
In theory, they were.
And so now there's this opportunity to flip that script back around and for Democrats to retake that issue in particular head on, especially with this data center debate. And I just feel like it's sitting right there on the table, just waiting for them to take it.
One thing in my social media feed, I see all the time about people stopping data or in other parts of the country, stopping data centers in their local county or their local town or what have you. Have we seen anything like that in Texas?
Yeah. So some of the first reporting I did was this CyrusOne massive data center that is, they're co-locating it also with an Energy Transfer Pipe Partners gas plant to power it, which is that's happening across all these data centers are getting co-located with all these gas plants. And so it's driving up the climate issue. But yeah, one of the first grassroots victories we saw in the state was basically a planning and zoning decision to not rezone the land. This is in San Marcos. And then that moved to a city council decision, which basically voted that down, sent it back to planning and zoning. Anyways, it was a whole big back and forth. But the reason they were able to have that victory in the first place is because it was within city limit. This is San Marcos, a city. So cities have much more regulatory authority when it comes to just being able to do anything about data centers in general.
That's how Corpus Christi was able to beat that desalination plant.
Yeah. And so this mine I reported on this week at Corpus Christi, it's really quite an incredible story because in 2022, Corpus Christi did this deal with this mining company called Bootstrap Energy, where they basically promised to de-annex the property because the property was sitting right at the edge of city limits. So basically they said, if you'll pay us pilot payments in lieu of taxes, if you promise these revenues that you're offering us, and they promised something like it was between $32 to $50 million over a 10-year period to do this, those revenues would go to the city. Okay, so we'll de-annex you and you can escape a lot more. If they weren't de-annexed into the county and they remained a part of the city, they'd have to pay something like $70 million in both sales tax and franchise fees on their electricity. And so in order to escape that, they did this deal with the city, right? So the city de-annexes them, saying, okay, this deal is worth it for us because we're still going to be raking in millions, right? And so this is in 2022. Then the mine changes hands several times. Bootstrap goes away. It goes to another company called Peak Mining. Then Peak Mining gets sold to these three companies that are tied to Tether, which is tied to Northern Data, which has gotten a tax fraud investigation in Europe. So it's all really shady. There's a bunch of shady companies involved. Even Tether is a shady miner. Bitcoin mining is endemic to financial fraud and those kinds of things. And we see that in this case. But anyways, yeah. And so flash forward, they're in a water crisis of immense proportions, like literally. So they're in stage 3 water restrictions now. It's going to be like level 1 water emergency, potentially as soon as December. And this mine is still operating. And it's using, when we last got the records, it's using 127,000 gallons of water a day to cool its mining equipment, right? I filed new records requests for this mine for this year. And all of a sudden now the city is blocking the records. They gave the records last year. And now this year they are withholding those records, sending them to the attorney general for a decision about whether or not they can or not. So that's an interesting change. But the real story about it is that on top of the fact that they're hiding the amount of water it's using, it's clearly still operating. It has paid almost nothing of what they promised. The pilot payments that the city have received are only $4,300 for the past few years. We're talking about a minute fraction of what they owed. And so this thing is basically this parasite on the city that is sucking up their water, sucking up electricity. It's 300 megawatt mine. So it could power 75,000 homes. There's obviously greenhouse gas emissions associated with that. And it is giving almost nothing back in return to the city, virtually non-existent. $4,300 is nothing.
Jobs.
There's only a couple of people at that facility. It only takes one or two people to run a facility like that, if two. So yeah, it's totally just this parasitic operation that is draining the city of energy, of water. And so, yeah, basically that's getting a lot of traction. I'm really hoping for some impact around that in terms of like the city at least reannexing the property or ending this agreement that it made. It's called an industrial district agreement. But yeah, I think it's possible because the city council member who brokered the deal is now saying that he would reconsider it, basically.
It's just surprising that we don't see a sabotage of these facilities going on more. Anyway,
yeah,
this is
an editorial note there. Yeah, that's an interesting thought. As far as I know, they have not yet been labeled critical infrastructure. And if somebody were to sabotage them, I think the penalties might be less than... I'm sure they will get labeled critical infrastructure at some point here pretty soon. I'm honestly a little surprised we haven't seen a blockade yet of construction. I'm sure that's going to be happening sometime. I don't know where it's going to pop off, but it feels like that. It's got to be happening sometime in the near future.
I think Corpus is a good case study, too, because so many different things go wrong. But you pointed out earlier, and I haven't been in Texas for a year now, but when I was still there, there were water crises in Corpus. People were told not to wash their cars, not to water their lawns, 5-minute showers. What's actually going on there, just aside from the data centers, just with regard?
Yeah, they just invited all this industry in, and they've just been inviting. So they've got several petrochemical refineries that are going on there. They've got a giant lithium refinery now. It's a Tesla lithium refinery. They've got an ammonia plant. So it's these giant petrochemical refineries, facilities that are using the vast majority of water. And we're talking about 90 million gallons a month, which far outpaces even this mine that I'm targeting. So yeah, and it's wild because right now, under the current restrictions, the industrial users aren't taking the same hits that the consumers, the everyday residents are, who aren't allowed to water their lawns or do car washes, that kind of thing. There are exemptions built in for the industrial users. Now, when they move into the actual water emergency, which might be December, it might be next year. We have had a lot of rain this year, so that might push timeline a little bit. But once they move into the water emergency, the cuts will be across the board. The council, Barrera, tells me it will be across the board. But really, the city needs, and again, they need the authority to be able to It just seems clear to me that the city should be able to, it should be the reverse, right? They should target the industrial users first, like what's truly critical in terms of these industrial users, like what can be turned off and what can't be. And that's something narrow that even that like Abbott and the state leaders are targeting the city for. So because they voted to table the desalination plant, like the desalination plant died, it went away, and then it came back because of the water crisis. And the last vote was to table it, to just to delay the decision on it. And because of that vote, Abbott is now targeting Corpus Christi, saying like threatening a state takeover of the city, right? Yeah. Just like a total preemption of the city, which again, it's that thing about Democrats should be running on local control. Like the Republicans are literally threatening to take over a city. And really all that needs to happen is that Corpus Christi needs the authority to shut down the giant users and there would be water for enough for everybody.
And just because of my other life, I've done some work with groups that work out at Corpus Christi, like Corpus Christi DSA. I looked about Nueces County where Corpus Christi is. It voted for Trump. It's a Republican area. I don't know about the actual city of Corpus Christi, but like Nueces County is Republican, one thing that's crazy to me. Political bad decision making on Abbott's part, but whatever. He's not there.
Yeah. As far as I know, he's really targeting just the city proper here. And you're right about this desalination plant. Like, it would totally, if they did it inner city harbor, like desalination plant, they would totally ruin their bay, like their estuary there, like would completely, and that's well documented. Like, Texas Parks and Wildlife has come out and said that. Like, that's the recommendation. And
where are the kids going to go for spring break?
Yeah, absolutely. And so, I don't know. It's just one of these things where it's like, we can't, because of capitalism. We can't just look at the situation rationally and look at, like, what, you know what I mean? Are these giant petrochemical refineries absolutely necessary? Is that truly critical to the well-being? Like, we literally can't put people first when literally water is running out. And the other thing I reported on a little while ago, too, is the guy who just run the runoff for railroad commissioner. His name's Beau French. And he is like an overt fascist. And I know people drop that word a lot, but like I use it in a meaningful way here to point out that he's an outlier in terms of the rest of the Texas GOP, which really says something because the Texas GOP just in general is so extreme. Like the whole party is running on this anti-Islamification of Texas rhetoric. But Beau French is basically Stephen Miller running for railroad commissioner. He wants to deport like a third of the country. He says over and over again that he wants to deport all the Muslims. And he also talks very openly about great replacement theory. He is an apologist. Like he adopts a sort of lost cause approach to Rhodesia. And yeah, he's just openly a great replacement.
Is he the guy who bought the Epstein Ranch or was it somebody else running in Texas?
I don't think so.
One of the people running for office in Texas was like owned the Epstein Ranch in New Mexico.
Okay. Yeah. I don't think it was.
But I followed Beau French. Yeah. He wants to get rid of.
Yeah. It's really wild. And so his part of the campaign that he ran was blaming Corpus Christi's water crisis on the Muslims because Saudi Aramco owns one of these refineries. One of these massive water users is owned by Saudi Aramco. And he ran a whole campaign around this, just trying to put Corpus Christi's water crisis onto Muslims, like on the back of Muslims, and use them as the scapegoat for why Corpus Christi is running out of water. And so that's the kind of dangerous, I think, rhetoric that we're going to see ramp up as the climate crisis ramps up. And we have more of these droughts and more of these water crises, not just in Corpus Christi, but across the United States, like in different areas. We're going to see the racist right spin that and put that on marginalized populations.
Have you or anybody else looked into the donations that these companies give to Abbott and Paxton and Patrick and everyone else?
No, but I mean, I can tell you about this, the local Bitcoin mine that I've been reporting on. I can tell you that Roland Barrera, the guy who brokered the deal, also did get campaign donations from the original Bitcoin miners from Bootstrap, gave him money for his, it was when he ran for state house. He ran for a state house seat, I believe. But yeah, so there, but now all indication is that he is perfect. There's so much pressure on them over the water crisis that he is definitely willing to, I think, to look twice at this agreement now.
Yeah, here in Ohio, that's become an issue because it comes out now. Kasich, the previous governor, who's presenting himself as like a reasonable Republican, was like responsible for a lot of these sweetheart deals. And it's a woman running as a Democrat in Michigan, McMorrow, who a lot of the kind of party establishment likes. And she's like pro-data center, the governor's pro-data center. So, you know, they clearly have their fingers in all these cookie jars.
Yeah. So that's the case like across Texas, like where these things move in, they usually get the tax abatement. And that's been standard operating procedure in these counties. And it's not just for data centers. They offer these kind of tax abatements and benefits to really any major business that comes in and wants to like give their rural community revenues or whatever jobs, like they usually will just hand them the abatement. But the problem is these things are coming in and they're just like parasites on these communities, and they're getting the tax incentives, the tax benefits at the same time. Yeah.
Just on the persistence front, so are there these Republican state, like I have family who's live in Corsicana. It's one of the places you write about. Are there state, and my family was like diehard MAGA too.
Yeah.
And are there state legislators who I assume are like big Republican pro MAGA people? Are they standing with these communities that are fighting back?
Yeah,
is it a little bit more of a live fight within I know the legislature's not in session right now, but is there a little bit more of a live fight with Republicans being split within the, not just in the communities, but within the legislature?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I think that there are both MAGA and like Cornyn vote or Cornyn wing, like Republican.
The liberal wing.
like the old guard, the Texas old guard, the Cornynites.
Never thought I'd call Bush and Cornyn liberals, but whatever.
Yeah, it's really, honestly, the divide is not actually between MAGA and the old guard, but it's more rural versus urban. So the more rural the county, the more they're going to be in opposition. And the more urban the county, like Betancourt's from a more rural area and is saying we don't need, he keeps referring to giving counties regulatory control as like a patchwork of, he's, if there are patchwork rules across the state, then nothing's going to get billed. If there's 250 different statutes or codes everywhere, then there's no uniformity. So that line is coming from these Republicans who represent the more urban areas. But yeah, it's really because the explosion is happening in rural Texas. And so, yeah, these guys who are out there representing these rural constituencies, honestly, I went to a town hall meeting about the data centers in Caldwell County that I've been reporting on, particularly the judge there, and 350 people showed up. And it's really heated between this Republican judge and the constituents. And it's nonpartisan. There's both, like, there's an indivisible group that has joined the coalition against the data centers. It's called Caldwell DCAT, Data Center Action Team. But there's also rural Republicans that are part of this coalition pushing back. And this judge is working on drafting legislation for the next session that is designed to give counties the land use authorities in their subdivision codes. And he is arguing that he is giving the tax abatements to the data centers in order to extract concessions from them, to extract mandating closed loop water systems, dark sky lighting, all of these kind of environmental regulations. And the communities are arguing whether or not that is true or not, whether or not he actually needs to grant them the abatement. Looking at the statute, he doesn't have any authority. So I kind of tend to believe him, this judge in Caldwell, that this is one of the only forms of leverage. But in order to do that, he is sparking the ire of these residents who don't want to see these data centers pay their fair share and not give them a tax abatement. And so that's why he says he's working on this legislation. He's working on it with Stan Gertis and State Senator Judith Zapparini. And it's being drafted and is going to be one of the first bills in the legislature. And I actually got into a meeting with this judge and State Senator Zapparini when they were discussing this legislation and drafting it. And yeah, I think that, and again, it's interesting because this judge is so Republican, but he finds himself at a direct clash with other members of the Republican Party, including Abbott and these backers of these data centers, just pleading for any authority he can to just impose reasonable limits. We're not even talking about shutting them down or kicking them out or we're not talking about anything on that level. We're talking about just making them follow some very basic rules. And he's got to basically fight tooth and nail for that. Yeah, and it's really wild.
Something else that I've noticed here, just generally talking to people who aren't like overtly political, is that they're aware of what these things are for too. They're not producing goods that would help us, right? It's not like they're making cars or making steel or something like that. They're producing crypto as an investment for speculators, rich speculators, and data centers are essentially for surveillance. I've heard a lot of people around here say, all they're going to do is create more algorithms so they know more about us. And hey, is that kind of come out as well? Is that kind of part of the opposition to this, or is it just the energy usage or the water usage?
Yeah, it's across the board. And I actually think that there's some, I haven't seen it develop all the way yet as of yet, but I'm a little bit cautious about some of the narratives around neo-Luddite sentiment in terms of anti-technology, because you have portions of the right that are like back to the landers, anti-tech, and those narratives tend to marry into anti-progress narratives, that it's like a rejection of progress all the way across the board. So those narratives around rejecting tech can marry into rejecting progress on multicultural democracy. So those things tend to go in hand. So that's why I say, to me, the whole heart of this is the local control question, because that way you flip it into a question of democracy, right? Instead of this idea of whether or not we're going to reject progress or not. And I'm not saying that I think that these data centers are giving us anything really great, right? Yeah, I think all projections are that they will be used for surveillance and there are going to be a key linchpin in the surveillance state. Yeah, I target crypto a lot because I feel like it's an easier target because it really provides no benefits to anybody but crypto miners. And If you look at the industry, it basically is like a financial crime machine. So it just seems like that's an easier target. People do use AI for some applications, but it hallucinates. Y'all know all the problems. It hallucinates, it plagiarizes, it does all these things. And so, yeah, I guess what I just worry about is that I worry about the anti-progress sentiment and that sort of populism re-ballooning and catalyzing these narratives that end up reinforcing far-right views of the world, I guess is what I worry about here. And it's not something that is super apparent at this moment. But yeah, there are these Republicans out here that are MAGA Republicans that would happily, you know, like, yeah, I think that some of the rhetoric I've heard is we don't want to become more urban, right? Some of the language I've heard is we are afraid of becoming like a city. If these data center comes in here, we're going to become more like Austin. We're going to become more, it's going to bring more people in. And I think the subtext there is we're going to become not our small little white town, our small little bucolic white town. Like they're afraid of, you get a lot of that anti-urban sentiment. I don't know if that makes sense, but I guess that's something.
Yeah, I mean, they're also not going to give up their F-350s and their air conditioning and all that other
stuff. Yeah, for sure. It's just something
I don't know
how
far they can go with that. I do think that the kind of surveillance issue is one that I've seen in a lot of states that's actually making headway, because these things are just there to know more about us and they're not producing anything productive, not doing anything productive.
Yeah. At the same time that you have the anti-data center backlash going on, like here in Central Texas, you also have a big fight over the Flock license plate readers.
Yes. Yeah.
And like data centers are instrumental in holding on to all the massive amounts of data that these license plate readers collect, right? You need a bunch of servers to hold that information. And yeah, there's a massive fight. Like Austin had a coalition, a very powerful coalition that rejected the Flock cameras and were successful in getting the city to cancel their contracts with Flock. And then we had this shooting, and I can't even remember when it was. It was only a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
But there, because DPS went over the city's head and started reinstalling in the cameras along the highway, along the rights of way, like preempted the city and just went over their heads with it. They're saying that they were able to catch some of these shooters in this situation via the Flock cameras. And so that has brought the issue back on the table now. And so now the same activist coalition that successfully fought them off the first time is mobilizing again because they want to resurrect them, because they're saying like, without these Flock cameras, we never would have caught these shooter guys. And so, yeah, it's this reversal, because for a while you had all of these Central Texas counties, not just Austin, right? But you had Lockhart and a number like San Marcos and a number of other jurisdictions rejecting Flock. It was a clear trend against Flock. And now it's back on the table in Austin, and Kyle, the city of Kyle, which is just south of Austin, just passed funding to expand their Flock camera and get a new grant for it. So it seems like the trend is starting to reverse back again. And so, those fights are very tied in with each other.
And other places I've seen it, they'll have the other kind of effect where anti-ICE people have become activists against things like Flock and data centers as well, because they're so connected to what ICE is doing, the surveillance of DHS and ICE and Border Patrol and others. So it's a big deal. I think it's the big issue of the coming year, really.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that's 100% the case here. Just so I can tell you that the anti-ICE people are some of the same people who are fighting Flock and are fighting the data centers. Yeah, I know a lot of those people. So
Just real quick, just on the little D democracy issue, you touched on this before, but just around transparency and secrecy, is there, and this also ropes in the Attorney General of Texas, Ken Paxton, but like how much transparency and secret keeping are we seeing? I read that some of these local community groups and local communities and towns and like that, they want to know who's buying the land. They want to know like how much it's going to cost, how much it's going to, like how much they expect to take in water and things like that. And it's like, at what level do we see, talking about local control, we talk about the Attorney General around transparency and secrecy, how much are we actually seeing some level of information getting out?
Yeah, no. So at the Attorney General level, I think it's less at the AG level and more at the local level, because what we're actually seeing is these developers sign non-disclosure agreements with city representatives or county representatives when these things first come in.
Yeah,
that has been the case at the local level in many of these fights where you have non-disclosure agreements going down. And then all of a sudden the community learns about it literally days before there's a zoning vote or the days before there's some kind of public notice at the at a county's commissioner court or something. And a lot of times that is because of these non-disclosure agreements that are going down. So it's honestly, that's one of those things that seems straightforward, like that should be illegal. It just seems, well, I don't know. I'm no lawyer, but it just seems like that should be illegal to me. And then at the AG level, I would say this trend right here with this Bitcoin story I just did, they, the code that they cited to withhold these records from me is pretty straightforward. It, the language is such that I'm not sure if we're going to win our case to win the records back. It's basically a code that says you can't disclose an individual customer's account without written consent. The thing about it is it needs to be a court fight because the intention of the law there is clearly to protect a private resident's privacy, like a like an individual resident's privacy. It's not, that statute is now being applied to large commercial accounts, this account for this Bitcoin firm. And so I don't think that was the intention of the law, but the language is such that it could easily be construed that way. And it's interesting because the city wasn't doing that last year. They could have been citing this code the whole time, but they were granting these requests up until now. And so I think I really don't know what is prompting that change. I don't know if it's completely cynical around the water crisis and just trying to prevent stories that are negative about it, which is really silly because the backlash there is that the story I did about them withholding the records just got a little traction because of that. That's funny. But like, yeah, or if it's like, they made some discovery in some other case and I don't, you know, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what exactly is driving that. But I think that it's, that is one of those things where if that continues to proliferate and they deny, more localities are denying these water records at the local level, that's going to drive and inflame more backlash. And so, yeah, I think in tandem with the just local control, small d democracy stuff, there's also just a transparency issue that is very related. And that's one of those things that SB 6, they passed it last year, and then Abbott just came out yesterday backing these regulations. And one of them is annual reporting of electricity and water use. So even Abbott is saying we need to do that. And it's interesting because that's not comporting with what's happening on the ground right now with these records requests that are being denied. And so they're going to have to, this needs to be addressed one way or at another. And one thing, the judge, this Republican judge, he's calling for a special session on this, which is, I know, kill me. We've had so many special sessions and nobody wants another one. But at the same time, it is really wild that we had special sessions. And this is the judge's words. He's even saying we can have a special session around who can use what bathroom, but we can't have a special session around these massive resource consuming hogs, these data centers. Yeah, so it's going to have, it's the politics of this next section and these races coming up here in November. The data centers are going to be a very big deal.
It would seem like it'd be a really big deal in the governor's race and the Senate race too.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Although Paxton, I read, is connected to a crypto pack and Tallarico has taken money from necessarily directly, but like people affiliated with the industry.
Yeah, I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah, they're, they funded Crockett.
Jasmine Crockett.
Crockett was all in. Crockett still is,
Yeah, totally, yeah.
Centrist Democrats are down with it.
Yeah,
and like APAC, huge, like APAC.
That's a huge mistake. Oh, yeah.
I'm done. Thanks so much. Every time we talk to you, I learn so much. You're the kind of contemporary successor to the Ronnie Duggar and Molly Ivins in Texas.
Thank you.
It's been great. I really appreciate everything you've done. I always look forward to your articles and discussing these things with you. It doesn't make me feel better, but it's great to learn more.
And we'll put your articles this week into the show notes as well.
Okay, great. Yeah, thanks so much.
But really appreciate you coming on. Candace Burned with the Texas Observer. Excited to have had you on. Folks, if you like what you're hearing, please check us out on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, Blue Sky. If you're watching this on YouTube, speaking of digital assets, if you're watching this on YouTube, hit that subscribe button. If you listen to us on an audio platform, give us a rate and review. If you really like us, go to patreon.com/podcast.org and hit that support.
And but we don't take crypto donations, right?
We don't take crypto donations here at the Green Red Podcast, but just cash it in and we'll take the cash. Folks, if you like, thanks for coming on, Candace. And everybody else out there, make trouble and misbehave.
Take care, y'all.